My name is Tyler Fornes, and I am one of the co-hosts of the Good, the Bad, and the Hungy AEW podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcasting Network. We take a broad scope approach to the world of All Elite Wrestling and the entire universe of Tony Khan. We talk about the big matches, the big stars, the promos, the storylines, and we also look at it from a big picture perspective. How are things going to change over the course of the next 10 years with AEW still in the picture? How are companies like WWE going to adapt and adjust to AEW? Are they going to be a similar way like they did with WCW in the late 1990s? Will there be a counterpunch? We talk about all of that and more on The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy every week on the Voices of Wrestling Network.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Rob McCarron.
Hashtag authority. Hashtag Steph Bouncy. Hashtag SmackDown 15.
Jeff Hawkins.
You done digging that hole?
You're listening to Shake Them Ropes with Rob McCarron and Jeff Hawkins.
Dance on your grave, dirt sheet writer.
Shake Them Ropes. I am Jeff Hawkins. He is Rob McCarron. Rob, four shows this weekend. We'll be covering two of them. I know that AEW is for the sickos, and I am not particularly a sicko. I am not someone who does star ratings or a notebook for my top 20 list at the end of the year and whatnot. But I will say this, nothing will take me out of an AEW show quite like the go-home show for an AEW pay-per-view. Because, and let me posit this theory to you, because I talked about this last night in my other territory. The point of a go-home show is to build tension for the match that is going to be on Sunday, the big matches, and for your number one contender for your big title, Tony Khan was worried that you needed to have good matches, so he had Will Ospreay struggle with El Fantasmo, and he had, for sympathy, Swerve Strickland beating up the loudmouth jerk of the Death Riders like he was Vader. And for the main event segment, we had a comedy skit with MJF and Don Callis instead of just, we're going to kill you in the cage. I know what they're doing, and I know the people that watch it like it, and they'll tell me not to watch it critically.
Do
and
they?
Shut up and enjoy it.
Do they, though?
I don't know. They seem to on the board at F4W, and they yell at us about it, you know, in various different things. Like, it's like, I won't listen to Hawkins because he's being too critical of something I love, and the matches are good, and I enjoy them. I'm just like, yeah, but it could be better. I don't know. I watched this last night. I went, why are we undercutting our show on the go home? Why? And I ranted last night. You can go listen to that show. But yeah, I'll let you take it away for where we want to go first.
Well, yeah, we're going to talk about AEW Forbidden Door, which exists. We're going to talk about WWE Night of Champions and the King of the Ring, Queen of the Ring finals, which exist. I want to know what the other two shows this weekend are. You said there are four shows this weekend. We're covering two. Are you referring to like a SmackDown collision, or like what are we referring to?
Actually, I think there's five shows now that I think about it. There's a TNA pay-per-view.
Oh, my God.
And an NXT show on that same Sunday.
You are lying to me.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
Great American Bash for NXT is Sunday. And TNA's pay-per-view, I believe, is Friday.
What is that called?
Whatever the
hell.
You
don't even know?
No, I don't watch TNA.
Is it Slammiversary?
I don't think it's Slammiversary. I thought it was Revolution or Rebellion or something.
It is Slammiversary. But
it is Slammiversary? Okay.
Ridiculousness. Yeah. I don't even know. Like right now, your main event for that is Nick Nemeth versus Mike Santana, possibly
yes.
AJ Francis versus Elijah, because it's listed last on the whole Wikipedia, but that can't be right. There's a lot of stupid happening this weekend. There's a lot of stupid that's been happening on TV, and there's a hell of a lot of stupid that's been talking about it, and we're going to join the fray here on Shake Them Ropes.
Oh, excellent.
We're going to bring some stupid, but we're also going to bring some less stupid than I'm seeing.
Baby, I've been bringing stupid for 14 years on this show.
Just unbelievable stupid. First of all, okay, Bailey? right now, well, we'll talk about Bailey. Maybe we'll talk about Bailey. I don't know. Obafemi versus Brock Lesnar 3 or Commander versus Hechicero. What would you rather watch?
Oba and Brock, please.
Well, then you're not a sicko. That's the sicko test right there. That so is you are sicko. Officially Although, not a sicko.
I do love Hechicero a lot. I do.
But you want to see, but this match would be the main event. 20-minute main event match on a Collision, and people would be like, oh my God, Collision is must watch.
Oh, I moderate over on the F4W board, and the people are yelling at Brian Alvarez on his SmackDown and Collision reviews. Please start with Collision first. And I'm just like, are you guys insane? No. Stuff that actually matters happens on SmackDown. Why would you do?
Is TNA Explosion still a show? Because honestly, Explosion probably has more significance than Collision these days.
Oh, 20 guys. Not a show. 20 guys who are 5'8", 175, doing 3.5 star matches that are well worked but no heat. That's what.
But you also talked about. I mean, the Dynamite go home. Dynamite's go home shows not usually doing it for you headed into the pay per view. But then the pay per views usually deliver. This one's probably going to be no different, even though there's only one match really of significance.
Yeah,
but
this wasn't. Go ahead.
It's been a weekly problem.
Yeah,
it's been a weekly problem.
This wasn't an I hate AEW statement.
No, there's some good stuff on AEW TV, not like important stuff.
Correct.
But there's some good stuff. Yeah. But just was it 1 week ago or 2 weeks ago where they gave away the main event of this pay-per-view as your TV main event? Oh, yes. But now we're going to add a cage to it, and it's supposed to be more important. When this match does not, the winner of this match gets Mark Briscoe a title match, which probably happens at the very next night on Dynamite, the very next Dynamite that happens. Which, okay, probably go 15 minutes. Maybe you get a clean finish or there's some bullfuckery. But even if it's clean, like who needs to see Mark? And is Mark Briscoe versus MJF a ratings draw on TV? Is it important? Does it get a story over? Does it get MJF's next opponent? Because in theory, this match is going to happen. And one, they're going to try to sell you that Mark Briscoe might actually win. And it's going to be Mark Briscoe versus Will Ospreay at Wembley Arena. Or Wembley Stadium. Or the idea is that, okay, we already know who the all-in challenger is because that was decided at the pay-per-view. Like, what the fuck does this match matter? Other than it's a match to get you over in the main event. And that's okay. But that's okay if you weren't spending the last 6 weeks trying to build up, like, Mark Briscoe is this important guy who needs a title challenge to MJF.
I'm going
to
make it worse. I don't even think Mark Briscoe earns the title shot. I think it's because Andrade kicks MJF in the balls or something, leaves the group, and then Mark Briscoe pins him 1, 2, 3, and then we all have to do the "you deserve it" and 7 claps out of it. I like Mark Briscoe. It's just too soon to do an underdog story again.
It's also like, you could say Forbidden Door, like it's two teams going up against each other and they're two all-star teams. They're two teams made comprised of main eventers. No, fucking Kyle O'Reilly and Roderick Strong. And then on the other team, fucking Jake Doyle. I mean, Jake Doyle could be something someday. He might be the future in 3 years for AEW. He might become an important challenger. The era of Kyle O'Reilly and Roderick Strong is 6 years ago. And okay, it's okay if they're an added team in here, but the main event of a pay-per-view and like this conglomeration is supposed to be this big, important group. I mean, half the members just showed up one day because Adam Cole was injured and they're like, "Hey, we're part of your group now. We're best friends," but they're not the best friends because that's a different group. Haven't seen them in forever. Kevin Knight. Okay, we're going to make this big single star out of Kevin Knight. Nope, just another dude in the Don Callis family. And yeah, if Mark Briscoe actually gets the title match, because I'm not convinced that the babyface team wins this match.
I'm not either. I'm with you.
I'm not convinced at all. So yeah, maybe you have some type of turn in the heel group. Maybe you have some type of turn in the babyface group. But I mean, of all these no names, who the fuck could that possibly be? Like, the most likely person to turn on their team in this babyface group to me is Mark Briscoe. Like, I don't want the title shot. I'm on MJF's side now. So that's your main event. When the real main event of the show is going to be Will Ospreay versus Swerve Strickland, which honestly is probably still a foregone conclusion that Will Ospreay is going to win and headline All In. Kenny Omega, Zack Sabre, a nice little match. Mercedes Moné going for another crowning achievement, a nice little match. It's a card of nice little matches, with the importance being the title shot for All In. So you don't even get a title match on this show. You don't even get the world champion defending their title on this show. It's all towards the next event. This may as well be AEW Dynamite Beach Break.
Okay, fair.
This pay-per-view that they're going to try to tell us 200,000 people bought, and there's no effing way.
Well, the Google Trends say, okay, great.
Google Trends can trend elsewhere because they're not trending here. I'm not buying it. But anyway, we're going to go through AEW when we've cooled down a little bit. Okay.
When you've cooled down, you're sweating almost.
I am not. And the people watching on the YouTube channel, all 34 of you, will see that I am as clean as a whistle. I have no sweat on my brow, but you know who does have sweat on their brow, son? I don't know. I don't get an answer.
I was going to do such a good swerve there. It was going to be great.
Sami Zayn has sweat on his enormously large brows right now because he's got to go up against Cody Rhodes and Gunther for the undisputed WWE Championship. The Sami Zayn, the whole story this year about he can't get a title win, he can't become the champion. He's getting so many chances now. Is he a babyface? Is he a heel? Will common sense get back to him as he goes up against the son of the common man and then Gunther? There's six matches on this WWE Night of Champions happening all the way over in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. Before we go one by one on the matches heading into this event, which I believe is taking place Saturday, Saturday, June 27th, in the middle of the day, 1 p.m. Eastern. So, gosh, as we're recording, this is basically tomorrow afternoon, everybody, if you're listening to this on day one. What is the most looked forward to match out of the six on this pay-per-view card for Jeffrey Hawkins? And I will stall one more second to give you a chance to even look at this card.
I don't have it, but it's probably the Gunther match anyways.
It probably is the world title match, right? I mean, yeah. I think it's the world title match, which how long has it been since the Cody Rhodes title match has actually been the most looked forward to match on a pay-per-view?
Oh, by far and away, it's the Cody Rhodes Gunther Sami Zayn match after looking at this lineup.
I mean, Braun Breaker Seth Rollins to me is interesting because we've said this twice, I think. But this one appears to be the blow off. Although Braun, I figured they were blown off as Braun moved into the tag team division, but no, Braun's out of the tag team division already because they lost the tag team title. So Braun's going to be the singles guy. To me, the fact that they took the tag team titles off of Braun Breaker and Austin Theory, and they want to make it clear, they made it clear that they want Braun Breaker to be back in the singles space. I think Braun Breaker is probably going to get a victory over Seth here and move on to bigger things.
I agree.
But that would probably be my second most looked forward to match. I mean, deep down there is Jey Uso and Obafemi, because I'm just waiting for the bullshit in that one too.
Yeah, I am. They can't let Jey Uso win this, can they?
Oh, they absolutely can. They absolutely can.
You think they flew in Brock to interfere in Saudi Arabia?
What's the alternative? What's the alternative, right? And this very well could be the alternative, because if you're not announcing a Brock Lesnar match, what are we? We're a month. We're still a month away from SummerSlam. If you're not announcing a Brock Lesnar match right now, are you going to let Obafemi win and people think that, okay, Brock Lesnar is not wrestling at SummerSlam? Because it is two nights. They could easily do two Obafemi matches. They can do the Brock Lesnar match one night and the world title match the next night.
All right, let me posit this, because this sounded insane in my head when I thought of it, but I think it's a possibility, is that Sammy wins the title in the three-way, and Jey Uso and Sami Zayn is a match for a title to tie in, once again, sure, more of the Bloodline reunion.
It very well, I think we're definitely getting the advancement of the Bloodline. I think we definitely, I mean, Mr. Main Event Jey Uso, who's been just a sidekick for the last, ever since Roman cut that promo saying they're all equals in this group, Jey Uso has been the most sidekicky he's ever been. He is back to being, Jimmy's more, present on the microphone and getting TV time than Jey Uso is at these points. But no, Jey Uso is the other singles guy, so he's going to be the one to go on to King of the Ring. I think we're getting Jey Uso in a world title match on the SmackDown side at SummerSlam, but I don't believe it has to be one of the main events. This very well could be the opener ESPN match on night one, whether he's going up against Sami Zayn or Cody Rhodes. We'll go one by one and pick our winners here in a second. But Jey Uso, I think to advance that Bloodline story and see where he's going to go, I think you get him away from Raw as Roman Reigns kind of does his thing. Roman Reigns doesn't have to take on the King of the Ring winner. Right. We find some other type of situation to get Roman Reigns on the Raw side in a title match at SummerSlam. I think Jey Uso getting a title match and being the opener on night one is a very real possibility, because I just have it in my head, and I'm sure a lot of people do, that Obafemi's probably going to wrestle Brock Lesnar. What makes the most sense? Probably crowning Obafemi the king if you're really this high on him right now and want to just keep giving him accolades. You probably push Obafemi for the title, and then we just are left to wonder, like, okay, SummerSlam, is he going up against Roman truly? Is he going to pick the SmackDown side? Will Brock Lesnar somehow find a way into this story? They've promoted Brock Lesnar Obafemi 3. We know it's going to happen at some point. So this isn't just like, oh, I'm thinking Brock Lesnar's going to show up, even though there's no reason for me to think so. There is a reason for us to think so. So let's start with that one. Let's keep getting your thoughts on this. Jey Uso, Obafemi, the final of the King of the Ring tournament. I want to get your winner and your thoughts on what I've just stated.
What you stated makes sense. Very much so. And I'll actually defend Jey Uso.
I'm a logical mind.
I agree that he has been a sidekick up until Monday. I thought Monday he showed some great fire. I was fine.
Most sidekicky.
Yes, the most sidekicky up until Monday.
More, less than Jacob Fatu. Jacob Fatu has had his moments where it's like, okay, I'm really the big guy here, guys. I'm just doing this because I'm a man of my word, but I'm the guy. Jey Uso is like, brother Jimmy, cousin Roman, can you guys help me out here? Because I am Jey Uso, the most sidekicky.
There is a story where Obafemi gets crowned King of the Ring, and then the Bloodline fuckery happens in the championship match, and then the rest of the year up until WrestleMania is the journey of Obafemi coming for the Bloodline to get the championship back. I think it's more interesting than Jey Uso coming over to SmackDown to fight with Sammy, with Cody and Punk probably both there in some capacity, although who knows if the Punk Cody thing's going to go on now.
Where's CM Punk at? I mean, this guy who said he wasn't taking the summer off hasn't appeared since that night.
Right. But the easiest path here is that Obafemi gets screwed and Jey Uso is the king, and we have to deal with King main event Jey Uso.
Especially because this match is going to be in the first hour live on ESPN. This is not an ESPN app exclusive match, just like the Queen of the Ring. And if you want that synergy, you have Brock Lesnar show up to this, screw Obafemi, say, I want you in my home turf, Minnesota. Yeah. You and me the third time, and I'll put my... Maybe they do the career on the line match. With Brock Lesnar, I don't think they ever want to do definitives or absolutes, because you never know, that one year they might just want to bring him back. Who knows, you might want to have him at WrestleMania in Saudi Arabia next year if that actually happens still. I think we're going to get Jey Uso winning this match. I think there's going to be some time of abomination with Brock Lesnar coming in. And then you do Obafemi Brock Lesnar 3 at SummerSlam, like everyone expects. And sometimes it's okay to do what everyone expects. But yeah, we'll have to find out what Jey Uso then will do on the SmackDown side, because we know he's not going up against Roman. Is it going to be Cody Rhodes? Is it going to be Gunther? Is it going to be Sami Zayn? But I have Jey Uso winning this one. And I'm going to look up, while you give your rebuttal, I'm going to look up the odds to see what people betting their money on an entertainment product can say about this one.
No, my thinking is that this does lead to who will he fight. And since we gave Jacob Fatu an Ulafala last week, being acknowledged, Jay's going to want an Ulafala, and he may want a tribe of his own because he's now a king.
I want a bigger Ulafala because I'm an equal partner in this. I'm not a sidekick, says the sidekick.
And occasionally he'll pull some side eye with the, well, maybe I'll challenge you, Roman. Oh, you know, that kind of crap. Jey Uso is not an interesting presence as a singles competitor. I understand that Yeet is over, but now they're kind of heelish. They're no longer, you know, the cool guys doing, they're heels doing crowd service, which is very odd. But I think the answer here is Jey Uso, King of the Ring, trolling Roman for a couple weeks before finally deciding he's going to go fight whoever has the belt on SmackDown.
It is very interesting because it's not like, I mean, yeah, the beating of Eric Andre is obviously a heelish behavior, but
no,
Roman Reigns,
it's not. Well,
but yeah, no, I think it's supposed to be, but like no one really cares about Eric Andre. Roman Reigns hasn't done anything heelish per se. He was the babyface going into WrestleMania. He was the babyface going into the Jacob Fatu match. And then the crowd turned a little bit because of how they were treating Jacob Fatu, even though Jacob Fatu was the bad guy. Jacob Fatu is still kind of the heel in that group of tweeners right now. We don't really know what their booking idea is for him because they haven't done much to advance Roman Reigns and anyone. They've just done the King of the Ring tournament. We got Jey Uso going up against Obafemi, so he's going to be the heel in that one. But it's not like the Bloodline are bad guys at the moment. They're kind of leaving it open to see, okay, where do we got to go with this group going forward? At some point, you're probably going to get some type of angle with Jacob Fatu and Roman Reigns again. I don't see them being simpatico for the next year or so as we head into bigger pay-per-view nights. Right now, Jey Uso is barely a favorite, minus 130 to Oba's -110. So they're both kind of even money, effectively.
Gotcha.
But he is the slight favorite in that one. So final word, Jey Uso or Obafemi?
Jey Uso.
Jey Uso. Okay, we're aligned on Jey Uso. Queen of the Ring. Queen of the Ring, there's a lot of different ways I suppose you could go. Io Sky versus Liv Morgan. Liv Morgan is the Raw Women's Champion right now. And this match, in theory, will be to see who goes up against the SmackDown Women's Champion. Although, if Io wins, we could get a rematch with Liv at SummerSlam. So, does Liv Morgan go for the second title? Does she win this match, or does Io Sky get crowned the Queen of the Ring? As you still have the uncertainty surrounding Rhea Ripley, because Rhea Ripley's not even on the show anymore because of her injury. So are we going to put the eggs in the basket that Liv Morgan versus Rhea might be the SummerSlam match, or do we just do EO and Liv Morgan again at SummerSlam? Who is going to be the Queen of the Ring crowned on ESPN Saturday afternoon?
If Rhea can go for SummerSlam, I think it's going to be EO. I do. If she can't, I think it's going to be Liv, and Rhea's going to tell Io to defend the title for her and lose, and it's going to be a rematch at SummerSlam between Io and Liv for some reason. I don't know why, it just feels
Rhea Ripley has the
to
power to just, okay, Io, you're the champion now?
They like doing that with injured champions. They just did it with Sol Ruka over on NXT back when she had a title, and then her second lost the title on behalf of her. So they like to recycle these things. That's the only reason I say that. Here's the other thing. I just don't see both King and Queen of the Ring going for SmackDown titles. It's weird to me. I think they're going to have one on one and one on the other. Although Jey Uso is going to be on Raw until he decides to jump. So
well, that's the thing right here is that no matter who wins these King of the Ring and Queen of the Ring,
Raw.
The winners are on Raw.
Yeah.
The winners are on Raw. So this is your potential. And though even if Jey Uso won, I don't really see him switching brands. Obafemi right now just showed up to Raw. I don't see him switching brands. So they're like, they're going for the title that of the show they're not going to be on for more than a few weeks at this point. Io Sky is a big favorite right now. Io Sky is a minus 600 betting favorite.
But there's interest in the Liv Morgan super push to me in terms of going for both titles. I don't know why. It just feels like she's a hot character.
She is, I would say. And this very well could be like, okay, you had the plan, but then it wasn't executed well. What is the Judgment Day's, basically their foundation of the group right now, is that they have these plans and it gets them to a certain point, but they can never execute at the very end.
Right.
Short of some of the times Liv Morgan has executed at the end with the Dominic Mysterio turn on Rhea Ripley and with Liv Morgan winning and becoming the champion at this moment. I don't know what Stephanie Vaquer's status is, but could we get a reemergence of a Stephanie Vaquer or someone leading up to this? Because say you have Liv Morgan who wins this and just wants, you know what? I want the night off. Rhea Ripley is not approved to get a match. She's not medically cleared. I'm just going to ask for the night off. And then something happens with the returning superstar to where we get that match just on the Raw side anyway. I think Io Sky winning keeps possibilities open, keeps the most possibilities open. So for that matter, I will go Io Sky. And also she has kind of been, you know, she was Rhea Ripley's sidekick. She's gotten some big wins, but she hasn't gotten these title wins lately. Maybe it's time to give Io Sky a reminder to the audience that Io Sky is a top of the food chain, along with a Liv Morgan, along with a Rhea Ripley. And maybe we get her a big win here.
Here's the other thing is that Io winning also opens up the possibility that she does challenge Liv Morgan.
Well, yeah.
Again. Yeah.
Yeah. So we can get the rematch. That's what I'm saying. There's more possibilities with Io winning because it could be the SmackDown side. It could be Liv Morgan one more time. There's more possibilities if Io Sky wins. Trick Williams coming fresh off of his wedding. Trick Williams is a married man now, going up against Ricky Saints. This is the WWE United States Championship being defended in Riyadh with Trick Williams, Ricky Saints. I got to figure that Trick Williams is a heavy, heavy favorite in this way. He is minus 3,000. He is actually the biggest favorite on the entire show. No one giving Ricky Saints any chance to win this match. And I am joining the people in that regard. I don't think Ricky Saints for the U.S. title is happening on this show.
What are the odds on Ricky?
Plus 850. You going to throw some money down, huh?
Trick Williams just got married and may be wanting time off for a honeymoon.
Ooh, well, he could get time off and still be the U.S. champion. I mean,
that's true, but that's the only reason it's tasty to me. But
I mean, Saudi Arabia on a Saturday, and then you don't have to work until the next SmackDown. Maybe you take one SmackDown off. This guy would have 2 weeks off.
Yeah, you're right.
He took one SmackDown off, and honestly, the SmackDown coming back from there, I believe, is the first show that's 2 hours. So you absolutely do not need everyone on the brand on that show that night because you only have an hour and 20 minutes after commercials to fill.
God, if they change their mind to Saints and people start slamming those odds, you're going to know it. So,
well, that's the thing with
Trick.
These betting odds, you never, I mean, we're, as we record this 2 days out from it, as we record on Thursday evening, they will probably change, and they'll probably change Saturday morning. Like, that's when you know. This is the way it's been done for 20 years when it comes to WWE TV betting odds. Like, people wait for the actual TV plot. They wait for the outline of the show. And it's like, okay, the smart money is coming in, and all of a sudden, oh my God, Ricky Saints is minus 250 to win. What the hell changed? Well, the TV show was written. That's what the hell changed. I'm going to go Trick Williams on this one, even if he takes time off. He has 2 weeks between this pay-per-view and another SmackDown if he just misses one show.
You're right.
As usual, a steel cage match. Steel cage, Bron Breakker, Seth Rollins. Potentially a blowout, potentially just a way to get them to their next match. Who knows? But Bron Breakker and Seth Rollins are a pick'em. They are both at minus 120. This is a pick'em match at the moment. I think this is one of those matches where Bron Breakker kind of getting the context clues of them removing the tag team titles, probably not going in the tag team division right now. This continues. We talked about this more than a month ago at this point. It's never been more likely that they're going to try to get something out of the Vision and Seth Rollins with the Street Profits and potentially Joe Hendry. I think this is going all the way to November in Survivor Series and War Games.
Yep, you called it. And this is the chance to establish Braun as a big bad. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think we're getting Braun Breaker, the winner here. We're going to get those sporadic, you know, okay, on this show, Braun Breaker is wrestling. On this show, it's Austin Theory in the tag team division. Logan Paul could be back by that moment, too. So we could get Logan Paul going into November. And who knows? Maybe we get some other ad into the Vision at this point. But we got our four on the babyface side.
I think we get Braun spearing Seth through a cage spot.
Okay. Yeah. Bronson Reed coming back soon, looking looking like he's on his way back as well. So I think they're going to try to milk this all the way out. So on this one, I think Braun Breaker gets that win and we don't completely blow off these two. Seth Rollins also is entering a crowded top of the card picture when we get the return of a Randy Orton, when we get the return of a CM Punk, with Obafemi and Brock Lesnar still going at it right there, with Jey Uso potentially at the top of the card. This is a crowded top of the card, so keeping Seth Rollins kind of intertwined with Braun and the Vision seems most likely to me.
I would agree.
We have the WWE Women's United States Championship match being defended. Jade Cargill going up against Tiffany Stratton. So Jade and Rhea was originally the plan for the show, but Rhea is hurt. So why not just make this a United States title match and throw Tiffany Stratton in there? Jade Cargill, Tiffany Stratton. Jade at this moment is the favorite to win. Just barely. Minus 130 to minus 110.
It's baffling because they just put this title on Tiffany Stratton, getting it away from Julia.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're going to give Jade Cargill this title.
Because if you can't be the women's champion because Rhea Ripley is hurt and you don't really want to take it away from her. You don't know if this is going to be a long-term injury. We got to have a top title on the top bad. Jade Cargill getting this United States championship. And then again, that still goes with Io Sky opening possibilities because you can get some type of picture there with Io, Jade, and Rhea Ripley. You can have Io coming to SmackDown to defend Rhea's honor, as you so put it. Yeah. So there's still a lot of different ways to go here. While, again, SmackDown is going to 2 hours. You are not going to have a quarter, you know, a third, but really a quarter of the people that were on SmackDown every week appearing on SmackDown every week going forward in the summer. So consolidation a little bit here, consolidating the U.S. title with the Jade Cargill and Rhea Ripley story is probably a likely scenario and likely reasoning why this match is happening for the U.S. title. So you're with Jade Cargill. I'm with Jade Cargill. She will be the new U.S. women's champion.
Mm-hmm.
And then our final match on the show. Yeah, there's six of them. So this is kind of like Night of Champions is between a Saturday night's main event and B-level pay-per-view and one of the big four pay-per-views. This is kind of in the middle there with getting us six matches. Two will take place on ESPN. The other four will take place on the ESPN app or Netflix if you have a VPN, which is how some of us will be watching this show. We have our WWE Championship Triple Threat match, Cody Rhodes defending against Sami Zayn and Gunther. Cody Rhodes is the big favorite in this one, minus 500. The other two were even odds, plus 300 as the underdogs. Cody Rhodes, the favorite to win this one. I don't think there's any way Gunther takes this match, but you lay out an interesting possibility for Sami Zayn going up against the Bloodline again and establishing him while Cody Rhodes and CM Punk have their little brief tete-a-tete. Is that even a thing? I don't know. But they have their little story. Potentially, maybe Randy Orton comes back. Could Randy Orton even appear on this show to potentially do something with Cody Rhodes there? But we're not sold. We're not sold like the Betty audience that Cody Rhodes is going to win this one.
I am not. I think the Jey Uso story is far more interesting if Sami Zayn and Roman Reigns are the two champions for which he has to pick who he wants a title match against. I think Sami Zayn winning the title in Saudi Arabia after getting the pops that he gets in Saudi Arabia, is a no-brainer at some point. And I think the last time he lost in Saudi Arabia, I believe, or he won like a lower card match, we all said he's going to win the title in Saudi Arabia. That clock is running out.
Oh, well, I feel like it's been running out. It ran out kind of at WrestleMania season, but here we are at the end of June.
I would agree. And I don't think you can hold it off until, I don't think you can do a redemption story where he wins it at WrestleMania in Saudi Arabia next year, which is kind of an interesting thought. But I think you do it here. I think you have to do it here. And I think there's also no way to do it here.
There's also no way that you can be planning, okay, we're going to give Sammy the title at WrestleMania next year. Because you're going to keep Sami Zayn in that top tier when you're going to have potentially Randy Orton, Cody Rhodes, CM Punk, Seth Rollins, Logan Paul, Obafemi, potentially Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns, Jey Uso. There's a lot of talent at the top here. I don't think you can be planning that far ahead with what you're going to do with Samuel L. Zane.
Yeah, and you're not going to make him that hot. This is the time to do it. It's a shock win. It's going to be a one-night hometown pop until he goes back to being a heel in the States or whatever, or in the Bloodline. And I think it's going to be Sammy.
All right, so Sami Zayn is your pick to win. I think we're getting Cody Rhodes a win here. I think the big mystery match is the steel cage match, as far as like, okay, not every match is going to be chalk. We don't know who's going to win that one. I wouldn't be shocked at a Sami Zayn win. I would be very surprised at a Gunther win.
Yes.
Because doing Jey Uso versus Gunther makes no sense. Doing Obafemi versus Gunther makes no sense. And then what is Gunther supposed to do? Just a rematch with Cody Rhodes at SummerSlam? That's no buys. That's like not getting people to buy a ticket or go and sign up for the ESPN app. You know, part of me is like, what do you really want people to sign up for the ESPN app for? And like, I don't know if it's Jey Uso going up against anyone for the title, but at least there could be an interesting story there with Sami Zayn and Jey Uso to continue that Bloodline extravaganza. In theory, at some point in the future, we're going to get Kevin Owens back. I know that's still a long way away. I don't think he's wrestling this calendar year, but do you do anything with Sami here to keep the door open for a Kevin Owens return at some point? Do you think Randy Orton returns on this show?
No,
I don't either. Coming off back injuries,
I don't think he's flying all the way out with back injuries. Saudi Arabia.
We know you got a bad back there, Randy Orton. Listen, how would you like a 20-hour flight? No,
and then we'll do a qualifier for Money in the Bank for you. How about that?
Jeff Hawkins, is TNA wrestling worth $40 million?
Oh, God, no.
I saw this, that they are interested in shopping it. Okay, that's fine. If you were interested in selling TNA, and your idea that, okay, it's worth $40 million because we get $10 million a year from AMC, buddy, let me tell you, that $10 million from AMC is ending as soon as that contract ends. You ain't getting that again in the future. Your value plummets now, and that's probably why you might be considering selling this. But we had a conference call today ahead of Forbidden Door, and Tony Khan was asked point blank, Tony Khan, the head of AEW, if TNA is for sale, it's worth $40 million, or they want $40 million, would you buy it? And he flat out laughed, said no, not at $40 million. If it was a different price, it would be interesting. It would be interesting. TNA has got a hell of a catalog, even though they do decide to just give it out to WWE whenever WWE asks for it. They've got an interesting history, but there's no real future value right now in TNA, even amidst this resurgence they've had over the last 2 years.
I keep hearing people say, yeah, but the tape catalog. I'm like, when was the last time anybody put out a tape? All right. Thank you.
Well, now that WWE, because in theory, WWE Network, right? Like, I can go watch whatever, it was worthwhile. But this would have to still be licensed out to somebody, and AEW doesn't really have a licensee partner, and they're going to have even less of one when this Paramount merger completes. Like, they can't just say put it on HBO Max. They can't say put it on Paramount Plus because they don't really care about that library. And you don't even have your own AEW library fully on these services right now. Netflix. So it's not even about buying a tape. It's about having some type of subscription service. And yeah, I don't believe that an AEW fan is really interested in going back and watching Desmond Wolf matches from TNA Impact.
They'll go back and they'll watch the three-way with Daniel, Styles, and Joe, and that's it. And look, Netflix doesn't even want the old WWE shows. That's why they're putting them all on YouTube. You can put all the stuff on YouTube where it's already at anyways, and maybe do a little bit of monetization. But if you had $40 million, you could make your own wrestling company and probably outdraw TNA and get a TV contract.
Probably. I mean, honestly, at this point, yeah. I mean, do you think there's just more baggage with the TNA name these days than there is any potential in, like, you know, getting value out of it?
I don't think it's baggage. I think they're not bringing anything new to the table. It's just more wrestling. There's no hook for TNA where you go, oh, it is a thing that has existed. It's like that. If you ever saw Animal House, they talked about Delta House has existed for many years. That's what TNA is. They have existed, and that's it. And it's like they had some interesting periods, but if you go, okay, what style is TNA wrestling? You go, it's just more wrestling with backstage angles. It's every wrestling you see light. That's what it is. With performers that don't have jobs that used to have jobs in the other two companies. That's what it is mostly. And I don't see the big companies have two shows a week. The market is saturated with wrestling. The only people who want more wrestling at this point are wrestling fans who only watch wrestling. I don't see a market for it. I don't see it having a hook. I don't see it being that interesting. I see it existing for jobs. And look, I want everybody to work and get paid. But I don't see any value. I don't see any value in anybody who's not an angel investor who is willing to lose that money investing in TNA as a profitable venture.
Megan Bain and Lena Cross versus Thunder Rosa and Olympia. Who you got?
The Divine Dominion run through them. It's a short night, 30 seconds, and they're off to do pictures around town again.
AEW World Tag Team Titles, Cope and Cage versus the Dogs.
Cope and Cage, that was a terrible segment also, where they're doing comedy in the middle of a beatdown.
The Young Bucks versus Mystico and Mascara Dorada versus Shingo Takagi and Teton.
Well, let's see. The Luchador team is fighting for the ROH tag title, so this could potentially be for that. But Teton's taking a loss from somebody, and it's probably going to be the Bucks because I don't think Dorada's getting the world titles for ROH.
AEW Continental title, John Moxley versus Bandido.
I think it's a draw or Moxley wins. I thought I saw something where Bandido could win to take the title off of Moxley to get him into this world title picture with Will again. But I think actually Brody King's going to take the title off of Moxley.
Cause that's exactly what Tony Khan would fucking do, right? Is you yes. have this match, Will Ospreay wins against Swerve to become the number one contender at All In. Let's just throw another guy randomly into the world title picture before that shit happens for Pretty no much. Effing reason. Well, Bandido, yes. I would also love if they combined the ROH and the Continental titles, because this Continental Championship is the stupidest thing AEW has at this moment.
Like, there's have no outside interference for them.
Have the tournament. Great. Have the Continental Classic. That's fine. You don't need to have a year-long championship belt. Yes. Out of this tournament, especially yes. when by the time the next one comes around, the person who won the tournament isn't the fucking champion.
Here's a thought. Make that your G1 / New Japan Cup.
It's supposed to be.
And the winner gets a title shot. Yeah. There you go.
Of all the ideas not to steal from New Japan, like this apparently is that one. Shota Umino against Pac for the IWG Global Heavyweight Championship. And you may think Global Heavyweight, that must be the biggest belt in the promotion. It's not.
No, and New Japan needs to save some face, so they're getting a win on the show.
Shota is absolutely getting a win here. Thekla versus Starlight Kid for the Women's World title in AEW.
This is intriguing to me, Rob. This is the most intriguing match on this show because you could
give... You might now be a sicko again.
No, I love Tekla. Tekla's great. But if Mercedes is winning the Owen, which I think she is, she could want Starlight Kid as a match for her. And I don't necessarily see that happening. I see some sort of thing where God, I think Alex Windsor's probably going to beat Tekla on some show on a Wednesday, and then it's going to be Mercedes and Alex Windsor in some fashion at Wembley. I don't know, but I think Tekla wins this. But I think it's kind of intriguing that Starlight Kid could get a win here.
It's pronounced Tekla. Mercedes Monet versus Maya World, the women's Owen Hart Cup.
There's too many people saying, oh, they, you should do Maya World here, see what you have with her. No way in hell.
Who Mercedes, even the hell is she?
Mercedes Monet. She was along with, I forgot her tag team partner's name. They were brought in when Nixon Newell and her tag partner walked out and they earned a contract. And she the happened worlds. To be, yeah, she happened to be around when unfortunately her brother died and she was there and they threw her into the tournament when somebody got injured and she got a win.
Dark. This went a yeah. little dark. I was just trying to make fun of Maya World. I'm not even making fun of Maya World because okay, she's actually fine.
I thought you really didn't know who she was. But,
I know who Maya World is. The okay. problem that I'm trying to emphasize here is the fact that kind of like when Alex Windsor showed up, when a lot of people show up, when Riho showed up, like they're just like, oh, these people are on TV now in prominent roles with no backstory, with mm-hmm. no build. We're just supposed to know and think that they're good. And Maya World is not ready for this right now. Mercedes no. Monet is going to win. She's going to get another accolade. And will she go for the AEW World title? Will she go for the AEW secondary belt? Who knows? No. But she is going for something, and well, she's going to get a world championship match if she wins this one, so that's happening. And I guess you do that at Wembley. You'd give Mercedes Monet the world title at Wembley as well, because why not? She is, I would say at this point, still probably your most popular female wrestler on the card, right?
Yes, because yeah. Toni Storm isn't there.
Because Toni Storm isn't there. And even outside of Toni Storm, like if you're not an AEW fan, I still don't think you... Toni Storm doesn't resonate. Mercedes Monet doesn't really resonate. I still hear, I've talked to people who call her Sasha Banks, and she hasn't been Sasha Banks in 5 years.
Yeah.
Kenny Omega versus Zack Sabre Jr. This is a singles match for the nothing.
Yeah, people will like it. Kenny Omega's going to win because he's getting the title match in Montreal.
Of course. Yeah, he's going to win. We'll just have to see how much of this match takes place on the ground. Zack Sabre just loves rolling on the mat. Team Briscoe, Mark Briscoe, Orange Cassidy, Roderick Strong, Kyle O'Reilly, Konosuke Takeshita, Darby Allin versus Team MJF. This is the Don Callis family and MJF, Kevin Knight, Kyle Fletcher, Jake Doyle, Kazuchika Okada, Andrade, El Idolo. Who is winning? Who is taking the fall? Who is getting the pin? And why, oh, why will someone crazy show up at the end, even though it makes absolutely no sense for them to do so?
We're going to get another Don Callis family member at the end of this. Is that what you're saying?
I think so. And I don't know who it could be. Are all the WWE releases, like, are they final yet? Are we still in our 90 days?
Because we're still in the 90 days.
Someone's showing up, and I don't know who it could possibly be. Who would even make sense in this? So for that matter, I'm saying Goldberg shows up.
I think Briscoe pins MJF with the help of Andrade. I do. I mean, everything else says, you know, somebody pins like Jake Doyle just to do it.
Yeah, no, you got to pin MJF here.
Yes. But there's a way where the Don Callis family wins this in some way.
Oh, there's absolutely a way, and you just don't give Mark Briscoe the match, and then that would mm-hmm. tell me, okay, Tony Khan realizes, why am I doing Mark Briscoe in a title match? But then I'll look back and be like, well, what the hell was the last 6 weeks?
Yeah.
Like, really? What the hell are you doing the last 6 weeks for just to troll people who are like, Mark Briscoe shouldn't be in the title match? I mean, if you think it's going to get one over on MJF, like if you think it's making MJF even this bigger hated guy as he heads into Will Ospreay, I don't think so. I think you have to have MJF in the match with Mark Briscoe and do something dastardly versus just not even getting them in the match. Yeah. And then your real main event of the show, even though it's probably not going last, Will Ospreay, Swerve Strickland. I guess they could probably put this on last, but Will Ospreay, Swerve Strickland, the men's Owen Hart Cup final. The winner goes on to Wembley at AEW All In for the AEW World title. All In is on August 30th. So there's plenty of time. There's 2 months before this match takes place. And I think they even have a pay-per-view before that. Am I right?
They do. Have Redemption. Redemption in Montreal.
Redemption in Montreal. That's right. So Kenny Omega could, I mean, you, Kenny Omega versus MJF, you think, huh? And then yes. Kenny Omega and Will Ospreay for the title. So Kenny Omega, even though he doesn't win this Owen Hart Cup, gets the title match first, which is another just insanity. But anywho, yeah, who you got in the Swerve Strickland Will Ospreay match? And try to tell me why oh why it could be Swerve.
No, there's absolutely no, and this is also part of the problem. Nobody believes Swerve can win here. The question with Swerve is, does Hangman show up so that we can rekindle that best of 8,001 feud? Or maybe they're together and they beat down Ospreay. That'd be kind of interesting. But Ospreay's winning this. We're going to hear about how it's going to be such an awesome moment at Wembley in a half-empty Wembley stadium for All In. And we're going to get more Death Riders pumping up Will Ospreay for his big title win in Wembley and then try and take credit for it afterwards. This is all just in service of this stupid Death Riders story, which is Point Break, and we're going to eventually have Bodie turn on Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, could this be the start? Granted, it started a couple of weeks ago, but could this potentially be, you know, us nearing the finish line on the Death Riders? Because if we get Will Ospreay and Jon Moxley towards the end of the year, could we potentially see the end of the Death Riders by the end of this calendar year?
Yes.
Well, there you go. I mean, then I'm all for it. I'm all for whatever you're doing, Tony Khan, if we get the end of the Death Riders.
Hey everybody, my name is Jesse Collins, and I am the host of the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, a show right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. On the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, we take a deep look at individual issues and stories that are going on in the wrestling world. Each episode is about a different topic, and we take a thorough and educated look at things ranging from current booking trends to breakdowns of individual performers and angles to investigations into different fan cultures across the industry. In addition, we keep a close eye on the wrestling media, and as a professional journalist, I bring a unique perspective to how current issues in wrestling are being covered and discussed through the wrestling media. We have a revolving series of guests from across wrestling punditry joining us on each episode, and we hope that you make the choice to give us a listen on wherever you get your podcast from.